Welcome to the Deep Dive, a look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Great to be diving in again.
Today we're going deep into two recent messages from Pastor Tim Travis. The first one is Old Paths, New Purpose, Part 1, which draws from Jeremiah chapter 6.
And the second?
That's Our Wealth in Christ, Part 5, and it's based on Ephesians chapter 2.
Ah, okay. Guidance and Identity. Interesting pairing.
Exactly. Our goal today is really to pull out the key insights on, well, finding that guidance and truly understanding who we are in Christ.
And we should mention, like in the sermons, any scripture we quote will be from the King James Version.
Good point. And hey, if you want to hear the full messages or check out other sermons, they're all up on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Basically everywhere.
Yeah, just go to faithwayfbc.com. You'll find all the info there.
Perfect. So these two messages, putting them side by side, it really highlights how we need both, doesn't it? Direction, but also that solid foundation of who we are.
It really does. The Jeremiah sermon calls us to, you know, look back at these established truths for guidance.
Well, Ephesians just opens up this treasure chest of what it means to be in Christ, our value, our position.
Okay, so let's jump into that first one. Old paths, new purpose. Pastor Travis starts off saying something most of us can relate to, right? That feeling of needing a new purpose, a fresh start.
Happens to everyone.
But here's the twist. He suggests the way forward often means looking back to these old paths.
Now, he's careful here. It's not about just being, like, old-fashioned or stuck, is it?
Not at all. He clarifies that. Old paths, in this context, means the well-worn, established ways of God, the paths found in his word.
Right. The ones that have stood the test of time. He contrasts them with what he calls new paths.
And what's the issue with the new paths?
Well, he suggests they often don't produce those, you know, deep results.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're more about self-fulfillment, maybe, than strict obedience to God's revealed way.
So it's about substance over trends.
Pretty much. Discerning timeless principles versus maybe fleeting ideas that don't satisfy that deeper need.
To set the stage, he brings in Jeremiah 6, verses 13 to 15. Talk about relevant.
Oh, yeah. Covetousness, false dealings, people saying peace, peace when there's no real peace. Sound familiar?
A little too familiar, maybe. And this leads right into the core verse, Jeremiah 6.16 in the KJV.
Let's hear it.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein.
Wow. That's quite a command. Stand, see, ask, walk.
It is. God himself telling them, stop, look around, inquire about these ancient good paths.
And that promise.
Yeah.
You shall find rest for your souls. That's huge. That deep inner peace we all crave.
But then you get that stark rejection at the end. We will not walk therein.
Yeah, that resistance. That's something Pastor Travis really highlights. Why don't we tend to dismiss that established wisdom sometimes?
He uses some good analogies to make it relatable, like preferring older cars, maybe, or certain music for its quality, things you understand.
Or that anecdote about wanting mama's recipe instead of some fancy new one.
Right. It taps into that trust in something proven, something reliable.
It really touches on that tension, doesn't it? The shiny new thing versus the tried and true. The Route 66 versus the interstate analogy was great, too.
Explain that a bit.
Well, Route 66, you think of a journey, connection, seeing things along the way. Modern highways, speed, efficiency, maybe a bit impersonal, commercialized.
So he's drawing a parallel. The old ways of God offer a richer journey.
That seems to be the idea. More meaningful than maybe some shallow contemporary spiritual fads.
He also touched on the prophet's role, just speaking God's word directly, and how the people back then could look back at God's track record.
Right. David, Solomon, Moses. Parting the Red Sea, manna in the wilderness.
Those were their old paths, tangible proof of God's faithfulness.
That history matters. God isn't just theory, he acts. And that past action guides us now.
Which leads to his encouragement for younger folks, you know, to learn from older, godly people.
Yeah, learn from their experience, maybe avoid a few detours yourself.
Yeah.
Practical wisdom.
Now, here's a point that really stands out. He contrasts the world's idea of many paths, same destination.
Which you hear all the time.
With what Jesus says in John 14.6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
That's a direct challenge, isn't it? Very exclusive claim.
So how does he frame that? Because for some, that sounds narrow.
Well, from the sermon's perspective, rooted in scripture, it's about who Jesus is. His unique identity, God, become man, sinless life, his death, paying our price, his resurrection.
It's based on his unique work, not just an opinion.
Exactly. It's presented as a foundational truth claim of Christianity. And he even suggests that the kind of vibrant faith we see in Acts, that should be normal, not some super spiritual exception.
Kind of a challenge to evaluate our own experience of faith today.
For sure. Which brings us back to Jeremiah 6.16. Stand ye in the ways and see. It requires effort, right?
Yeah, it's not passive. It's a come and see invitation. You have to engage, look, seek.
But it's not just our effort. Pastor Travis then talks about God's willingness to guide.
Like in Matthew 4.19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
Right. Our job is the following part. He does the making, the guiding.
The analogy of being yoked with the Lord from Matthew 11 fits here too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Shared effort, but he leads. He takes the heavier load. It shows our dependence and his partnership.
But following sometimes requires, well, letting go. He brings up the rich young ruler.
Oof, yeah. Sell everything and follow. That highlights the commitment needed.
Can't really hold on to the world and follow God's path fully, can you? It demands surrender.
Total surrender. It's echoed in those old hymns he mentioned, like, where he leads me, I will follow. Trusting even when the path seems strange or unclear.
And through it all, there's that amazing promise from Matthew 28.20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
That assurance is everything. We're not walking these paths alone.
Ever. He uses the Bible itself as a metaphor, a clearly marked road.
Mm-hmm. With road markers.
Proverbs 22.28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set.
He talked about that. Literally property lines, but also spiritually.
Right. Upholding those core truths, the scriptural principles, they're like guardrails.
They're for our protection. Which contrasts sharply with the modern attitude of, you know, I'll do whatever I want.
He critiques that and also the danger of superficial fixes. That line from Jeremiah again, healing the hurt slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace.
That's so relevant. Offering easy answers when deep issues need addressing. We need God's real solutions, not just spiritual band-aids.
So the message keeps circling back. God's ways, the old paths, are laid out. Our job is to stay on them.
Trusting him completely. Proverbs 3.5 says is key here.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
And Psalm 23.3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Trust leads to his direction, his righteousness, his restoration.
And that obedience, walking that good way, it leads to the soul rest we talked about.
That deep internal peace. He lists biblical examples: Adam, Noah, Moses, David, Ruth, Esther.
Some who succeeded, some who stumbled.
Which is realistic, right? It's not about perfection, but commitment to his way, even when we mess up.
And he's clear, this isn't about rigid legalism.
No, it's about God's timeless truth and character, not just external rules. He even hinted at how relevant the Bible feels today, almost like it anticipates modern issues.
Then he brings up the narrow way versus the broad way for Matthew 7.
Another call to choose carefully.
The conclusion is really a call to action. Ask for the old paths. Stand. Obey. Use your gifts for God. Try his way.
Like Isaiah 1.18. Come now and let us reason together. Give it a shot.
But he ends with that somber note from Jeremiah 6.16 again.
Mm.
But they said, we will not walk therein.
And he mentions God searching for just one righteous person in Ezekiel and Jeremiah.
It's a sad state when a nation turns away like that.
That anecdote about the Chinese pastor visiting American churches, it was pretty pointed.
What was the gist again?
Observing lots of resources, lots of activity, but maybe, just maybe, getting things done without relying deeply on the Holy Spirit. A potential symptom of leaving the old path.
Ouch. A call to return to what we know is right, like the prodigal son.
Sometimes you need to hit that wall before you look up and head home. It underscores the value of that godly heritage, the wisdom passed down.
A powerful message on guidance. Okay, let's shift to the second sermon, Our Wealth in Christ, Part 5, from Ephesians chapter 2.
Right. And Pastor Travis points out how Ephesians is structured. Chapters 1 to 3 are about our wealth in Christ, our position, what we have.
Before chapters 4 to 6, which are about our walk in Christ, how we live.
Exactly. You got to know who you are before you know how to act. Identity precedes action. It's foundational.
He reads Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, which really lays out this incredible contrast. Our past state versus God's gracious intervention.
That contrast is everything. Paul piles up the descriptions of our before state to make the after even more stunning.
So before salvation, what did that look like according to Paul?
Spiritually dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. And Pastor Travis defined those trespasses as crossing God's lines, sins as deliberately missing the mark.
And this death wasn't like non-existence, right?
No, spiritual separation from God.
Yeah.
Cut off. Following the course of this world, influenced by Satan, Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air.
Wow. And children of wrath.
By nature, because of our fallen state, and by choice, because we actively sinned. We knew God existed, Romans 1 says, but refused to honor him or come to him.
That's a bleak picture.
It really is. Uh-huh. Utterly hopeless apart from God's intervention.
But then Ephesians 2.4, but God.
Those two words change everything. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Pastor Travis defined mercy and grace here, didn't he?
Yeah, really helpful. Mercy is God not giving us the punishment we deserve. Grace is God giving us the favor we absolutely do not deserve. Unmerited.
So through salvation, we get this amazing love and mercy. We're made spiritually alive. Quickened is the KJV word.
Born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. A completely new spiritual life.
And not just alive, but raised up with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places.
Like trophies of his grace. It's a present reality of our union with him, not just a future thing.
And it's all secure, right? Ephesians 2.8-9 is so clear.
For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Saved by grace through faith. Faith itself is a gift, not earned by good works. So
you can't lose it by bad works either. It's secure because it depends on God's gift, not our performance.
What a relief that is. And now instead of being dead in sin, we're what?
His workmanship. Ephesians 2.10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
So we're saved for good works, not by them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
God works in us, Philippians 2.13 says, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. True faith naturally results in a changed life, a life that produces good works.
Okay, so that's the shift in our state. Then Pastor Travis talked about the shift in our relationship to God.
Right. Before Christ, as Gentiles, non-Jews, we were completely on the outside.
How does Paul describe that?
Without Christ. Aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. Outside God's covenant community, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
Basically disconnected in every way that mattered spiritually. No citizenship, no covenant, no hope.
Yeah. And he directly counters that idea that all sincere religions are okay. Paul says we were without God.
But after salvation, Ephesians 2.13.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Brought near. That's the core change.
Total reconciliation. Nearness to God, and not just to God, but to each other. Jew and Gentile made one new man in Christ.
The unique melting pot of Christianity, as he put it.
Breaking down those dividing walls. We have peace with God, initiated by him through the cross. Unity in one body.
And access. Verse 18 talks about access by one spirit to the Father.
Direct access. No longer outsiders. We're now fellow citizens with the saints. Part of God's own household.
Built on an incredible foundation.
The apostles and prophets, with Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
Indestructible.
And we're part of this holy temple.
Yeah, God's dwelling place. And even more personally, verse 22 says, we are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
The Holy Spirit actually lives in us.
That's the ultimate closeness, the ultimate wealth. God himself dwelling within his people.
Wow. So looking back at both sermons, it's quite a combination.
It really is. This deep dive today, pulling from Faithway Fellowship, it reveals this powerful call. Go back to the timeless truths, the old paths, for guidance.
Mm-hmm. Find that rest for your soul.
And at the same time, grasp the incredible reality of who you are in Christ, your identity, your wealth, your position.
That contrast Pastor Travis drew between the old paths and the pull of the new, it really makes you think, doesn't it? Where am I actually looking for direction? For real rest.
And understanding that before and after picture from Ephesians, seeing what God rescued us from and brought us into, that changes everything. It empowers how you live your faith day to day.
So maybe the challenge for you listening is to reflect on that. Where are you seeking guidance? Is it the solid rock of God's word, the old paths?
And how deeply have you really absorbed your identity in Christ? Do you live like someone who possesses that incredible spiritual wealth Paul describes?
Lots to chew on there. And remember, if you want to dig deeper into these sermons, hear them in full.
Just head over to faithwayfbc.com. Links are there for YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the usual places.
Definitely worth checking out. Well, join us next time on The Deep Dive as we continue to unpack the nuggets of wisdom from the sources you share.